for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
It's closing time, 5 o'clock on your Wednesday afternoon, and we've got young Marcus Young in with the Top 5 at 5. Marcus, hit it.
Thank you, Bear. Recently, number one, we're talking about the different kind of conference changes with the Pac-12 losing, obviously, USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. They are in discussions with the ACC about having a potential partnership and championship game while they are in the midst of potentially losing further teams from the Pac-12. Bear, you had just mentioned something right before we started about an offer that was made.
Yeah, apparently the Big 12 has offered, let me make sure this isn't any kind of fake news. Okay. The Big 12 has apparently offered Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, and Washington to join the conference. And they do have 30 days to sign the contract.
So we think that it could be, Pac-12 could be non-existent. They could be extinct.
Yeah, one of these conferences is going away for sure, I would think.
Didn't they just get a new commissioner?
Yeah, and apparently he came out earlier today and said they are right now trying to negotiate their next TV package, which...
Right, which with the whole thing with the ACC is kind of, I think, about that too, though, with ESPN and everything.
Well, but, I mean, who's going to give the Pac... I mean, the Pac-12 don't have... They don't have USC and UCLA.
Could you imagine your first year and you're about to probably lose the entire conference?
It'd be pretty rough.
That would be a rough
Pretty bad.
Number two, over the weekend, we talked about it during the first hour, but the Vols football team picked up some good recruits, picking up Christian Conyer. We haven't really talked too much about him out of Kentucky. He's a guy that looks like he'll probably play defensive back for the Vols.
He's a speedster.
Yes. Got a really good size to him. Love taking away a player away from Kentucky. We also got Tyree Weathersby, a D lineman out of Georgia, which is another big pickup. And then obviously we missed out on our offensive lineman, but we do have Eccles, who will be
Jonathan Eccles, 2024
probably
tight end.
It's going to be it's been a good weekend. It's felt good to see the Vols adding more commitments, especially higher ranked ones. Shows that the Vols are heading in the right direction. And we got number three. I know how you feel about hockey news, but this is big news.
Okay.
Mike Greer makes history as the NHL's first black general manager.
Good for him.
If that name sounds somewhat familiar, it's because he has a, he's got a history in his family of executives. His father was Bobby. Looked like he was with the New England Patriots for a while in their system. And then his older brother, Chris, is the general manager for the Miami Dolphins. He got hired on in 2016.
Runs in the family.
Yeah, so I just thought that was really cool. He's been hired as the GM for the San Jose Sharks and played in the NHL for about, I think it was 14 seasons.
Really?
14-year NHL career. Came up one series short of the Stanley Cup when he was with Buffalo in the Eastern Conference Final.
Sabres.
In 2006. So just thought that was really cool news. I'm glad, you know, for me being a hockey fan, I like seeing the sport diversify and build and let a lot more people experience it. That's just a personal thing, though. Number four, news coming out of the NFL. As Baker Mayfield has been traded to the Carolina Panthers as they try to fix out their situation. It will be a quarterback competition through the break between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And if you want my opinion, I think Baker's the better choice, but I think they're going to stick with Darnold. The Cleveland Browns will actually hang on to 10.5 of Mayfield's salary of the $18.9 million. And... Only had to lose a 2024 fifth round pick for the former first overall pick.
Yeah, they weren't. That was Cleveland's biggest problem. Nobody was going to eat that whole contract on Baker Mayfield.
No one would.
Not coming off an injury year.
It's funny to me the fact that they are not only paying Watson so much guaranteed money, but now they're having to pay pretty much half the contract of Baker. just to get rid of them.
How is the Watson contract not going to absolutely destroy their salary cap over the next couple of years?
It has to.
It's going
to
cripple them.
And then finally, number five, one of the best things about the 4th of July is the hot dog eating contest. Anyone else watch that?
I didn't watch it.
No.
Well, in case you were curious, Joey Chestnut is once again the July 4th hot dog contest champion. He powered down 63 hot dogs and buns at the annual exposition of this contest. Taking down the Nathan's Famous hot dogs. A little shout out to them. One thing that was kind of interesting about this this event, though, was a spectator wearing a Darth Vader mask rushed the stage momentarily, disrupting the competition, right up against Joey Chestnut. He actually put the protester in a brief chokehold mid-contest, and then as they escorted the intruder off, he continued to eat.
Yeah, I'm not big on eating contests. They kind of gross me out.
It's also, they dunk them in water to make it easier for them to eat, which I think is disgusting, personally.
I don't know, man. Sometimes a soggy hot dog is actually pretty good.
Hmm?
A hot dog on a bun dunked in water.
I mean, I've had a soggy hot dog before, and I didn't mind it. I mean, I don't really like hot dogs too much.
Was it soggy with water or soggy like with sauce?
It was with water.
What?
You dunked it in water?
Yeah, like I took a bite that was pretty big one time, and I was like, you know what? Sip of water really quick. It actually, it's not that bad. But Joey Chestnut, though, probably the greatest competitor.
Is it Michael Jordan of competitive eating?
Oh, man, his resume is in the competitive food eating competition world. His resume is far superior to MJ's.
Is he working anything other besides hot dogs?
I think he used to have another job, but I think this is what he does mainly now.
I mean, 15.
Well, no. I mean, is there any other foods that he's known to eat?
Oh, yeah. Well, he did like a I watched a thing. It came on TV, and I watched it, of the whole rivalry between him and I can't think of the guy's name. Kobashi, I think it's it, or something like that.
Kobayashi.
Yes, thank you. And they showed that they actually did like a pizza calzone thing with Pizza Hut. So they did like a quick eat with that. So yeah, they've done other things. Which, by the way, I want him back. I want that competition back between the two
Kobayashi?
Of them. Yeah. The whole reason why he's no longer a part of it is because he didn't want to sign like a specific contract that they wanted him to sign.
Who do you think at the station could compete?
Jake Miller.
Really?
Yeah.
I took down 20 slices of pizza one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Maybe him?
I don't know. I think the most I've ever eaten in one sitting. I ate an entire Stefano's large Windy City special.
Ooh.
And then had to walk.
Walk where?
I had to walk once I got home. I was like 15. We walked around our neighborhood, our little crew of kids, for like 2 hours just to work it down. I couldn't lay down. Couldn't sit. That's the fullest I've ever been in my life.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to walk anywhere for like the next 2 hours.
I had to. Mm. It was either that or I was, you know, it was
stuck there.
Well, I wasn't going to stay stuck for long. It was it was either that or it was coming back up. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Huh.
So I walked and walked and walked some more. And then it finally worked its way down.
Goodness.
It's tremendous effort on my part, I might add.
Even that story is still making my mouth water right now for pizza.
I'd like to see, I think you and Jake go at it and see who could, of the station, could be the best. I really don't know anyone else at the station who could probably do a competition like this.
I mean, I couldn't do it anymore.
I know I couldn't.
There's no way. I never got my appetite back after I got sick.
Yeah, you've told me about that.
I have to force myself to eat. It's weird.
Mm.
Huh? I'm very rarely hungry.
The key is you got to eat a lot throughout the day. Not a lot, but you want to eat a little bit.
Like grazing, that whole deal?
Yeah, you got to expand your stomach.
Have you ever tried that?
I have not tried to graze, no.
Yeah, it's called the grazing diet. You eat like
salad.
Six really small, I mean, just like snack. Hour goes by, eat an apple.
Yeah.
another hour, hour and a half. Eat a little bit of yogurt or something, maybe a little salad. You never really, really eat a big meal. You just kind of graze all day.
Huh.
It's supposed to keep your metabolism.
Oh, keep it going?
Oh, yeah, keep it completely fired up. So, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That was number five.
That was your top five at five. Stellar performance, Marcus. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
So let's do a little recap here, fellas. So what all we've talked about today, Tennessee went 2-for-3 this weekend on commitments. Vols land four-star defensive back out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Christian Conyer, class of 2023. Also landed a commitment from five-star tight end out of IMG, Jonathan Eccles, who is a 2024 commit. Did lose Francis
Malagoa.
Malagoa. Five-star lineman out of IMG in Florida. Who all do we have coming up this week?
So, let's see. You got Seldon is committing tomorrow.
That's Cam Seldon. Yeah, where's he out of?
I think he either plays in Pennsylvania and is from Virginia, or is from Virginia and vice versa, whatever, you know.
What position?
This is the guy who is the athlete who has been drawing comparisons with
Debo.
Yeah, Debo Samuel.
Okay, and that's when tomorrow.
That is tomorrow at 4:30. I believe he don't have it pulled up right now, but he's the 105th ranked recruit in the class for 2023. Would be a very big get.
Who are we going up against for his services?
Us or Penn State?
Huh.
But even the Penn State Riders, though, have started to hand out crystal balls for Tennessee.
Okay, so that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow at 4:30. And then, of course, you got more coming up later on the week. Where did it go? You always have it until you need it. What's his name?
I have no idea. That's why I came to you.
Oh, here we go. We're on it. Making some traction. All right. Okay, July 10th, four-star outside linebacker Jalen Smith will be committing as well. And then, let's see. Also, July 8th, four-star offensive tackle Shamrod Umarov
will be committing. Who are we going up against? Who are we competing with there?
For Shamrod, I think we just got a crystal ball for Shamrod. Obviously, that's a Russian name, I believe.
Shamrod?
Umarov, though, that's his last name. So Shamrod Umarov is a four-star offensive lineman. Is he a lineman? Offensive tackle. He is the 345th ranked player in the country. We are 100% crystal balled for him. And it looks like his top four, I'm pretty sure, at least according to 24/7, it has him warm on Tennessee, Michigan State, LSU, and Georgia. So, if you can go head-to-head with those guys and steal one, you got to be feeling really good. He's out of Alpharetta, Georgia. A pretty stiff competition there. The kid's got an offer from everybody. He's got over 31 offers.
So, everybody wants this kid.
Yeah, I mean, 31 offers, and if Georgia's in your
Shamrod? What the hell kind of name is Shamrod?
And then Jalen Smith, 24/7 has him as a three-star. I think Rivals has him as a four-star. Looks like he's warm on Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. He has 40 offers, so another impressive list there. Got to get him. I mean, USC, UCF, South Carolina, Oregon, Mississippi State, LSU, Duke, Tennessee, Pitt, West Virginia. I mean,
6'6", 295-pound offensive tackle.
He's a big boy.
Huh. Let's get these crews.
Yeah, right now, like I said earlier, you're sitting at 11th overall for the class of 2023. Nico, obviously, fourth-ranked player nationally, third-best quarterback. I think he's the best, but he is the crown jewel of this recruiting class. And then Caleb Herring was a big snag for the recruiting class. He's four-star, 68th player in the country. He is an edge rusher out of Murfreesboro. He plays over at Riverdale. Ethan Davis, Sylvester Smith, Trevor Duncan, those are some more of your four-star guys you have. Then after that, it's just a slew of three-star guys, a pretty good balance of defensive linemen, corners, safeties, linebackers, and then you got Nate Spillman, who kind of wraps up this recruiting class down there towards the bottom, a three-star out of Nashville who plays at Lipscomb Academy.
That's with,
Dilfer.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer. I watched that kid play last year against Knox Catholic.
Was it good?
Pretty good.
I mean, you got to think if you get
That's a really good program that he's got down there.
If you get Cameron Seldon, you got to think. I mean, that puts you top 10.
I don't pay attention to him. And I know I probably should, but I just don't pay that much attention to it. To where we end up. I don't get all geeked out.
2024, we're currently ranked 9th in recruiting. Now, granted, we only have one commit, and it's a 5-star. But
that's with Eccles.
Yeah, Jonathan Eccles. And I saw that, you know, a lot of people are saying that kid might be the best overall football player in that class when it comes to just versatility and just natural athleticism. Just put him wherever you want him to, and he's going to go out there and play and make plays.
Could definitely see that.
He is the composite has him as the 30th ranked player nationally. His offer list was pretty impressive. You had Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, and just about every other Power 5 team that is relevant. Oklahoma, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas, everybody wanted this kid. And he's a Vol.
Nice. Nice. All right, we're going to take our first break of hour number 3. Got open lines for the first time today. If you want to jump on, give us a call. We'll get you right in. 865-546-8200. You are listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Sometimes it can be hard, even for the...
Drive rages on. So Hickman.
Yeah, speaking of drives and raging, I was raging on my way over here.
That's what I hear. What happened, Adam?
Cedar Bluff Lowe's.
Whoa! Gonna call him out?
I'm calling him out. You act like that, you have that bad of customer service, I'm calling
you
out.
I'm
calling you out.
You could have just leave my name. And I named Home Improvement Store in West Knox.
Okay, we'll go that route. Yeah, we'll go that route. Had to pick up some straw bales earlier.
With
Jake Miller, you know, business trip. We go in, we pay. I want to say, first of all, like most of the people I've handled over there at this unnamed establishment, they're always nice at the cashier's register. No complaints there. The gentleman who always checks us out, he is absolutely fabulous. But today, I don't know. I mean, so you pay, then you got to pull the truck around.
Yeah.
To the trailers in the parking lot to get the bales, right?
Yeah, I used to do work like that.
You know, I felt like it was 110 degrees outside today. You know, if it was any other day,
it was.
Maybe I'm not so angry about this, but we were waiting outside for 40 minutes in 110 degree weather. We were calling the customer service desk. We were talking to the employees in the home and garden. I heard them over the intercom in the store say multiple times they needed help, but nobody showed up.
Okay.
So we're just out there fuming. Finally, like, you know, I had to break out the, hey, man, I'm not trying to be a bleep, but, like, I'm starting to get mad about this.
Okay.
Because, like, I get it. Hey, 10, 15-minute wait, no big deal. If I'm standing outside in 110-degree weather after already paying for a product for 40 minutes, I'm starting to get angry at that point. And
well, see, here's a pro tip. You don't pay for it until they load the truck.
Well, like,
that's a fair point.
I don't think they'd do that because if it's in your truck, you know, like you're so far away from the building itself, you could just drive off.
They got to come up with a better way because I wouldn't wait.
What would you have done?
What would I have done?
Yeah. cause a scene?
Yeah, probably. I'm currently banned from that same establishment for an issue that went on years ago.
I'm a Home Depot guy, and
we're not mentioning names.
No names, no names. All right, so yeah,
you go to a rival normally.
Yeah.
Were you able to pick up the straw?
Oh, we finally got it. I was about to call you, being like, Bear, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to be late.
That wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, never good letting the bear down. But
I mean, were they overworked? Or?
Here's the thing. It wasn't that busy. And after we finally went to the customer service desk, we complained. Then we walked outside, and there was a guy waiting there for us. And this guy, you talk about Mr. Personality. Walked up, you know, I'm fuming mad, but I'm not going to blame this guy. Who knows what he could have been doing? I said, how's it going, man? Crickets. Crickets.
Walks. What do you mean? He wouldn't talk to you?
Didn't say anything. Walks back, grabs two straw bales, flings the first one down so carelessly that it about fell off the little slide that gets it down closer to you to grab. Just about fell off in the parking lot. Just flung it with no care. No care whatsoever.
Huh.
And, no, granted, we're obviously racing against the clock, you know.
Yeah.
It probably took this guy 2 minutes in between trips. Like, you're just walking the length of a 18-wheeler trailer, you know. Like, yeah. I know you got to grab two of them and carry them, but, like, it shouldn't take you this long.
No.
And
I mean, how many bales are time? I mean, eight. Again, this guy's loading them in 120-degree weather.
Yeah, all we needed was eight. I mean, not bad. You know, like, I could have loaded eight faster than this guy, and I don't do it all the time like him.
You'd think that they would have. I mean, it's not that. I mean, like, could do that a lot faster.
At other said establishment, here's how it goes. They have a guy out there who's sitting with a fan, some water, walkie-talkie. As soon as it's purchased, they get on the walkie-talkie to that guy who is specifically stationed out there for this and say, hey, we got so-and-so coming over here with a receipt. They just bought 10 straw bales. Hook them up. Go ahead and unlock her. Get her ready. Boom. No, this is not how they do it at this other said establishment that we will not mention again.
Maybe they were short-staffed. I don't know if you realize this, but people are having a hard time finding employees right now.
I don't think they were short-staffed. Jake even asked one guy and just kind of looked at Jake like he was an idiot. You know, I said, hey, could we get some help out here? Guy just looked at him, said a whole bunch of nothing and walked off.
Hmm. Do you think they listen to Overtime?
Well, if they do, they are going to
hear
a lot about it.
All right. So you've blown your stack and, or, you know, person non grata at a local home improvement superstore. Moving along.
I'm trying to think if there's any stores I have beef with.
No, come on. Marcus Young.
You're a pleasant patron at whatever
least confrontational person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, I am kind of least
confrontational. The exact opposite of most everybody that works here.
the most confrontation I think I've ever had in public was when there was clearly a single line at a gas station for one, like for the two people up front, because there was just so many people. We were all just divvying out whenever someone opened, someone would go. Some dude came over and jumped in right behind somebody on the left side.
Oh,
wow. There's a massive line of people. So I said something. That's like, I was like, hey, buddy, there's a whole line. He was like, oh, I thought there were going to be two different. I'm like, this huge line on this side, and you thought that there was a short line. Do you not think that we all would be divvied out properly if that were the case? No, it's one line. Get in the back. And that was rare for me.
Oh, I'll say something every time on something like that.
Yeah, I can't stand that kind of
stuff. The other people I have no tolerance level for is scratchers.
Oh, yeah. They'll do it right there.
Scratchers. Yeah. Scratch-off tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every time you go into a gas station and you just need a water or something, it's always, all right, give me three of these, four of those, and two of these. And
that's fine.
Let me just check.
But you're not going to scratch them right there. You can go over there to that little scratch-off stand they got for you people.
Yeah, you degenerate gamblers out there.
Yeah. Scratch them off over there and come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Get
back
in line.
I've done it a couple times, but I've never done it right there. I always leave and just do it in my car.
You get scratch offs?
I used to.
You ever won anything off one?
Mainly my money back. Like, I'd get, like, another scratch off, or, like, I think the most I've ever won from one of those was, like, $20.
I won 70 off a lucky 7.
Huh?
Not bad.
I don't think I've ever won.
See, I've always wanted to do, like, the actual, like, what you see on the billboards, like, the $1 million stuff, all that. But, like, it's just chance. It's just, like, can you get the right numbers? And just random numbers. I just don't feel like that's worth it.
The whole point of the lottery.
I'd rather just do a scratch off where, like, there's... Yes, it's random, but I don't have to hope I picked the right numbers. Maybe that's just me. That's why I don't go to Vegas.
Nah, it's a waste of money.
Random chance is not on my side.
You been to Vegas?
I have not.
You a big gambler?
Nah, I like my money too much.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Like, that's just a smart way to go about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it is very thrilling, I will say that. Like, the thrill of it is awesome.
I like playing nickel slots.
I will say I had a big parlay for NFL this year that I was on my way home from out of town.
Now, the FanDuel stuff's fun. Those parlays are incredible.
But I was on my way home. I forgot where I was, but I was in a state where you could not place this bet. And I was like, all right, you know what? Wrote it down as soon as I get home, putting this bet in. It was I think it was a bet for the Chiefs Bills game. Get home, fall asleep, wake up. You know, I'm excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm checking the stat lines and I'm not even like looking at what the bet was, but I just know like I know that was in there. I know that was in there, and I'm like, I'm winning $400. Never sent the bet, and so then I was just kind of like, you know what, whatever.
Like the FanDuel. I mean, yeah, you get your crazy-looking parlay. Yeah. You put $5 down. That's not much money.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah, if you hit it, big time. Chance Collins has hit some big parlays.
I need to look into that stuff maybe. I don't understand it enough. I think I've become – I know Bear has learned a lot more about it recently. But I'm probably in the situation Bear was a while back where I just don't understand it.
Don't understand sports gambling?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's funny is everybody down here, all the guys had built up these huge war chests on their accounts, and they went all in. Was it 2020 when we played Florida?
Oh, no.
And they all bet Florida to cover.
Oh, that's what D.R. Vol was talking about, right?
Yeah, D.R. Vol's one, Russ.
That one, yeah.
Chance, everybody.
And we hit them with the backdoor cover.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt did.
That was his last FU to the fan base right there.
Oh, I mean, Davey Hudson, between Davey, Russ, Chance, D.R. Vol, and a couple other guys, they were...
I remember that voluntary action. That was... Yeah, Davey was livid.
Yeah, I mean, things got tense. Yeah.
It was a good VR, though. I do remember that.
It was amazing.
They're all good.
Some are better than others.
What's your favorite one?
Probably when that one guy forgot who he was. Said hello to everybody and Crested and Davey too, and he hit him with the no bleep Davey, and then
watch that recently.
Cress,
yeah, Cress was in here with Billy Stats and Russell and Davey.
Yeah, some guy called in and he said hello to everyone except Davey, and Houston was like,
"Oh, okay, yeah." That was right before Cress bailed. I think that was like his only one official.
Yeah.
Voluntary action.
Probably had to fish or something.
He's not much for volunteering for stuff, is he? He's always got something going on.
Love the guy, but no. You know, he's always got a fishing tournament or something going on.
Yeah, I mean, we go ahead and the L word. He's a little bit lazy. I'll go ahead and say I love the guy.
I ain't throwing the L word out there. Cress is an awesome dude. He makes the mornings fun, you know?
I guess.
See, here's my debacle. I got too many radio fathers out there, you know, and like everybody's like, ah.
You know, don't.
I want to throw some shade.
No, you don't.
And I'm just like, all right. Then I get caught in the middle.
Who'd you start off with?
The Drive.
With me and Russ.
Hey, never forget your roots.
When you go in the Hall of Fame, you go in as a member of The Drive, sir. All right, let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Speak of the devil and he appears. We have DR Vol. DR Vol, your ears burning. We were just talking about you.
Yeah, I heard. Barrett, why are you going to bring up bad memories?
Because it was hysterical because I told you guys not to do that.
Yeah, you did. I remember that's when, you know, the season was so god-awful and I was begging for Tennessee to lose so we could get a new coach. And Davey would he would turn the app on and talk. He'd call. I probably called him about four or five times during that game. And I remember when we covered, I almost passed out my living room floor. My knees buckled because I bet well over a house payment.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I tried to warn
Marcus,
you guys.
Don't do it.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe I'll take the wise words of the Arval not to do it.
You guys are working through some stuff that night.
Well, Barrett, that was the year, though, that you're really starting to learn about the sports bet, wasn't it? Because that was really the year I got into it just so I could keep interest in Tennessee games, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's parts of it I still don't understand. Probably never will, but I know enough now to where I can, you know, I can do the parlays and stuff that you guys do, and I just don't get crazy with it.
That burnt me. I couldn't tell you the last time I bet, honestly.
The last time? I'm trying to think. Now, I'll tell you what. There was one year, John Reed, me, John, Russ, Cody, and maybe Cam. It was somebody else. We all chipped in on this crazy NCAA tournament parlay. And it was only like, I think it was like $20 a piece. But if we won, we'd all pocket like $4,000 or $5,000 each. And we missed, I think it was one game by like 1 point. And it was heartbreaking. Just
how
absolutely
confident
brutal.
Are you in the Florida game this year to bet on it?
Nah, man, you don't. Here's the deal about Tennessee, lifelong. You don't bet against them. And you never bet on them.
If you want to make some money, DR Vol, the advice I would give you is bet on Tom Brady to win. I mean, that's just plain and simple. If you want to make your money
you
back.
Across the face incredibly sad. Hard if you don't shut up now.
If you want to make that money back.
Unless he plays a Manning. Is that what you mean?
Oh. Eli Manning, that is.
Hey, P-Funk's got a winning record in the playoffs against him, buddy.
By like two games.
Still a winning record.
Does he have a winning record against him?
All time, no.
If they hadn't allowed that troll up there, Belichick, to take fire hoses and put a foot of water on the ground and not mow the grass up there at that crap stadium of theirs. Back in the day, it was like ankle-deep grass with 5 inches of water they were trying to run through.
Notre Dame does that too.
Not anymore. They got field turf now.
But, guys, that's all I got, Marcus. Just, I try to look out for you, even though you stabbed me in the back. I won't bring up what incident, but I would stay off the sports betting, especially like Bear said. I'll never bet on Tennessee-Florida game again. Last thing I'll hang up, I remember how confident I was in the 18 Florida game. For some unknown reason, I drank the Kool-Aid with Pruitt, and me and my buddy went, and my ticket was almost $400. And go down there and get curb stopped, and I was in the end zone when Pope fumbled. I swore I'd never go back to a Florida game. Have a good day.
I've never been to a Florida game.
I've never been to an SEC game.
What?
We talked about this. I've never been to an SEC game.
Better on the couch, buddy. Better on the couch.
Yeah, but I think there is something different. Like, I feel like I always see on TV how ecstatic it is during the SEC games. Because, like, the non-conference games, especially if they're not a big one, people are there. They have fun, but it's not anything special. Unless you lose to whoever it is.
I just haven't had fun the last few times I've gone.
I'd like to go to one.
Ole Miss was electric last year.
I imagine it was. You know what my problem is? Since I quit drinking, I don't like being around drunkards anymore. Wow.
I mean, that game, you ran into every kind of person that could ever attend a sporting event at that one last year.
The last game I went to was, the 2016 Missouri game, the track meet. Where they had like, we had like 750 yards offense and they had like 600. And
was that a senior day for Dobbs, right?
Yeah, it was so cold that day. So cold. And I was sandwiched in between two people that were just housed. Me and my child were. And at the time, he would have been 10, I think, 10 or 11. And it was horrendous. It was just absolutely horrendous. Slobbering drunk on both of us.
I thought you were about to say that once you stopped drinking, you stopped enjoying watching the games.
No, man, I stopped enjoying the games. We started sucking.
Went to Ole Miss last year. Really fun. Didn't go to any of the games the year before that because of COVID. Year before that, I went to BYU. That was a very fun game. Didn't end our way, but it was super fun.
Did you ever have COVID?
Did I ever have it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Have you gotten it?
Mm-mm.
Neither have I. You vaxxed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to know. Let me ask you this, Hickman. Do you have a game?
I didn't mean to ask you a personal question, fellas.
Oh, no, you're good. Do you have a game this upcoming season that you have planning to go to?
Oh, it's got to be, depending on how the season's going, it's got to be Alabama.
You want to go to the – whoa. Let's back up for a second. You think that there's a chance that Bama game is going to be a lot closer than we all suspect it to be?
Yes.
Do tell.
Really? What are you smoking?
I think you should be going into
We're getting blown away by them.
You should be going into that game with what? I don't know, maybe one loss, maybe. There's a really good chance you're going into that game undefeated. And if that's the case, I mean, you're going to see Neyland Stadium rocking like it's probably not rocked since the late 90s.
It rocked pretty good against Oklahoma.
What's the loss that you're thinking before Bama?
LSU's a toss-up. They got talent. They got a great coach. It's just, is it kind of starting to come together by that point?
Don't give me this hope, because I'm gonna take it if you give it to me.
And like you're probably not gonna beat them. You're gonna play them close. You're gonna play them damn close.
I'll lose to a field goal.
If you lose to Alabama by a field goal after starting undefeated or with one loss, maybe that's that takes you from we're on our way back to, hey, we're back, MFers.
Yeah. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Call me crazy.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
I mean, Neyland Stadium. If that game is remotely close and we have one loss or no losses, Neyland Stadium might slide off into the Tennessee River.
I've been in there when it's like that. Craziest it's ever been. Everybody talks about that Oklahoma game. You have no idea. You go back to the...
That will haunt me.
92 Florida game.
Yeah.
The Typhoon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you go back and watch, like, the stadium's shaking so hard that the cameras, you can't, between the rain and that stadium shaking, you couldn't, like, if you were at home watching it on TV, you couldn't see it. Like, nowadays, that would have been like a 2 or 3 hour delay. Like, I remember Tennessee was going in to score late in the second half. Lightning hit somewhere above the stadium or near the stadium. Like, everything went white. Florida DB ran for the – it was down the south. We were going into the south end zone. Florida defensive back ran for the tunnel because it scared – I mean, it scared the crap out of all of us. He takes off running, and then, I mean, they snapped the ball, and I think we scored on the play. I mean, it never happened now.
No.
So – It was scary in there.
Yeah, but still though, like I only like going to games if we're talking like historically great atmosphere for Tennessee, like Ole Miss last year.
See, that's what I want to do.
Incredible. You got to experience it.
At some point, I would love that.
For me though, I'm a couch watcher. I get too worked up. Like, people don't need to see me act like that out in public.
No, I like stuff watching games by myself.
Same. I got one buddy. I don't think we've missed a UT sporting event together in probably 5 years.
You do not want to watch a game with Russell Smith. He turns into a complete maniac.
I kind of want to just to witness this. You've told me this before, but I kind of want to witness this.
It's uncomfortable.
It's hard to really picture Russell just going full psycho mode, you know?
Really?
Hey, he's Danny Tanner. He's supposed to be the calm, cool-headed guy with good advice.
He's a psychopath, and I'll tell you about it over our last break. The shocking conclusion of The Drive is coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Linderman Sports Medicine, the Mid-South.
All right, wrapping up here on The Drive, Wednesday afternoon. I think we put in a good day's work, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
It's been fun being back, you know.
Yeah.
It's gone by pretty quick, too, you know, honestly.
Yeah, it went by pretty good today. We'll see how it goes tomorrow.
We had a lot to talk about over what happened with this weekend. And
yeah, we got another special guest, co-host tomorrow with me. Nice surprise for everybody. So we'll get to that. But let's go ahead and go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and Roger will be our last caller today. Roger, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bev. I'm doing fine, Bear, sir. How you doing out there?
Not too bad, Raj. Not too bad at all.
Well, good. Good. How's the belt doing? How is the guy with you doing tonight? My memory's not good. So,
Adam and Marcus.
Okay.
I mean, they're doing fantastic, Raj. You're getting to hang out with me.
Yeah, the company's not, you know, the greatest, Raj. But other than that.
Yeah, it's a joy. I'm sure it's a joy. He's a good guy, so I'm sure y'all had. I'm sure it's been nice to hear y'all today.
We talking about the same bear?
Oh yeah. He's a nice guy. Bear's a nice guy. He likes to. Ain't you bear? You're a nice guy.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've got a temper. Me and you've gotten into it before, Raj.
Right, but it's okay though.
Yeah, friends sometimes get mad at each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, everybody acts like I'm horrible because me and Roger have gotten into it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What about that, Rog? Everybody thinks I'm a bad guy because me and you have gotten.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But Bear, I just want to tell you, you did your job for Rush today. You didn't look good. You must learn. You did your job, though, okay?
Well, thank you, Rog. I appreciate it, brother.
A problem. I figure you need a compliment. So I just want you to give a compliment to you.
Well, thank you, sir.
No problem. Now I just want to ask you, Bear. At first, I know that on Friday the news came out that USC leaving, and also USC and also the team that leaving. That's why I asked you about Bear. Do you like that? They're leaving to go to Big Ten.
No, Raj, I really don't. I wish that things – I hate change, man. And I just don't like it. I just don't like it, buddy.
I'm sending money, but just – Bear Rod said, and it's kind of sudden too. Why is this not? You know why this not kind of sudden for? It's kind of sudden.
We've been building towards this for a while, Roger. It has to do. I mean, it's money and TV, and the NCAA's inability to govern or run college sports competently, and I think the money just got big and bigger. And with the playoff, and this is just what we're moving towards.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you see any more movement there from not or you see any more besides USC? Do you see any more movement besides that?
Oh yeah. There's gonna be more and more. I mean, we're just right here at the beginning of the shakeup, man. I mean, there's gonna be a ton more movement before we get to the end of this thing and everything settles down.
Do you think with all the moves around with that, do you think it makes stuff better? I mean, make everything better. You think or not better?
I don't know whether it's going to be better, Roger. It's just going to be different. It's going to be very different from what definitely I grew up with, Russ grew up with, and to some extent kind of what you grew up with. You're kind of in between mine and Russell's age and, Marcus and Adam here at the station. So it's just going to be different. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be that – it's going to be the next thing. So –
Yeah, and also Adam and Marcus, how about you all about this? Do you like this? With the USC and Israel leaving too, leaving to go to. You like that? You like it? Not like it?
I don't like it, Roger. I'm with Bear. I don't like change like this, but I don't reckon we have a choice. I mean, this is the new landscape of college football, and we're just gonna have to adapt to the changes.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens now. But it's weird, is everything going on like that? But I thought by the time, so I thought you have a good one. Hey, have a good one.
You too, Rog. All right, that'll about do it for us for today.
It's been a good start back to the. After
yeah,
the break.
It was good to get back in the saddle again today. I didn't really miss it. Yes, you know, for the first time ever, I really didn't miss it at all yesterday. I was enjoying what I was doing. Usually, I get a Lancey around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, even though I checked with you on Monday, I was like, "Hey, what do we think about Tuesday?" And when I got up around 2 o'clock, I was like, "Man, it's kind of weird not coming in."
Yeah, it was. It was for me too. I mean, it's not like I haven't taken off very many days in the past year.
Yeah, because even when you're not physically here, you're at least doing it remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, you were even on the phone with us over while you were driving.
Yeah, going back and forth to the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, they took my phone away after surgery.
God, you told me about that.
Did you know that, Adam?
Really?
Yeah, I was going to call in. They're like, I was like, hey, can I see my phone? Got my headset in. I was getting ready to call in. There was no way, man. I was out of my gourd.
Sure you wouldn't have violated any regulations.
No.
You're always so mild-mannered.
I was talking about giraffes with Cody McClure.
That's the best talk we got right there, bear talking animals.
All right. Well, another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. sharp. Stay tuned for Overtime coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Linderman Sports.